First of all, a prayer from Psalms. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I wonder, have you ever met someone in the street you didn't recognise? I have. And you feel quite an idiot because you're standing there thinking, who are they? I must have met them before. And you're trying not to look daft or make the person know that you don't know them. And you're hoping that person will give some clue. And sometimes I've had to say, I'm sorry, but I don't remember you. But you do feel an idiot when they say where they'd come from, and you should know them. In today, our passage is talking about two travellers who don't recognise Jesus walking along the road. And when I was at work with the men in the prison, I think I got rather boring with them. Because I always say to them, look deeper in the passage. What its meaning is, don't look at the top of it. Just don't read the top of the passage. Go in deeper. But they never said to me that I was boring on that part. And when I went in, and I've read this passage many times, and there are various sermons that you can actually pull out of it. But if I do that, you'll be here all day, and I don't think you want that. But you've also got to know the culture of that time. If you don't know the culture of that time, you don't understand the passage. And then the passage comes alive to you. Because you can read it, but it will not come alive unless, again I say, you know the actual culture in which they are in. Now Cleopas and his companion were walking along the road from Jerusalem, very distressed, very upset, devastated. This Jesus who they put their hopes in has gone. He's dead. Left them. And they couldn't understand it because he was going to save them from the Romans. He was going to be a political messiah. Why did he have to die? And then along comes this fellow traveller and walks with them. But they didn't recognise him. And he's walked with them. And they couldn't understand why this fellow traveller coming from Jerusalem didn't know of Jesus' death. It was the Passover then, at that weekend, where all the Jews come to celebrate the exodus from Egypt, from slavery to freedom. So Jerusalem would have had thousands of Jewish people there, celebrating. And maybe not today, we've got our television, we've got our radio, we've got our media. But then the word spread. And when I worked in prison, you didn't need a media because it was like a tom-tom machine. You tell one person one thing and the whole prison would know it. So it's the same in Jerusalem. It would spread. They could not understand why Jesus, this man, didn't know. Jesus was trying to explain to him that he was a thread that goes through the Old Testament and the New. But the New Testament wasn't then born. He was a centre theme. And he came to save us for our sins. And he will be alive on Easter Sunday. He acknowledged them for not knowing the Bible. And the Jewish men and women, but they were separated, went to the synagogue and they learnt a lot of things from listening. So why didn't they know? Why was a failure on them understanding the scriptures? And then it says in there, they get to the place, they get to Emmaus, and they invite him in. He broke the bread, and their hearts burned. Then Jesus disappeared from their sight. Those men didn't sit down, didn't have their meal and go to sleep. They got up straight away and went back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. Now you've got to understand, it was getting dark, the roads are dangerous, there's animals and robbers. But it didn't deter them. They went back to the disciples who knew that Jesus had come back. But what does it mean to us today? Because that was then, but it speaks to us now. So do we understand the scriptures about who Jesus is? Do we understand that it was the beginning of time? In John 1 verse 1, he was the Word. And he was a God at the beginning of creation. He's through the Old Testament, the scriptures prophesying him. He's King David through the line. King David was promised his lineage would never end. And he comes from King David's lineage. And there's many, many scriptures in the Old Testament that you'll find that will talk about Jesus. But is the Bible alive to us today? Or is it something we just pick up and put down? Do we understand the scriptures, the passages, and do we go deeper into it? Do we understand the culture of that time? That's the key issue. If you understand the culture of that time, you will understand the passages more. And I must admit, before I went to college, I found the Old Testament boring. But the Old Testament tutor brought it really alive to me. It was like alive, the Bible is alive anyway, but it was when you read the passage, it came alive for those people then. So Jesus expounded the scriptures to Cleopas and his partner, giving evidence of his life and death through the Old Testament. And further evidence is the New Testament of his life. But Jesus also gave us a very special gift in of love, the Last Supper, the Holy Communion. When we remember our Lord and Saviour, that he died for us, so for our sins are forgiven. He was the final sacrifice. The final sacrificial lamb. When he died, we could come closer to God. We come close to God in prayer. And the separation between God and man, people, was finished. Before that point, people had to have sacrificial lambs and burn them to send the smell up to God to say sorry. Or talk to him. So when we come to the table, what are you expecting? Is it a very special time that you are meeting our Lord? Do you know that he's waiting for you in the bread and wine? Are you remembering all that he's done for us? And being with us in all our lives? A Lord that is alive and loving us. It is a wonderful and happy occasion, very special and precious moment. And I ask, does your heart burn for him when you come up? Or has the excitement of this special moment diminished? That you come, but lost the excitement of meeting Jesus at this special table? And do we realise how special each one of us in here is to Jesus? And that he loves us dearly and wants to meet us at his special table in love? And do we take Jesus home with us? Or is he left in this church locked till next Sunday? Cleopas and his companion invited him into, we don't know if it was his home or it was in, it doesn't say, but he invited him in to stay with them. Invited him to the meal. Do we invite Jesus into our homes as a special guest at our table? He only comes if he's invited. He's waiting for that instructions, that invitation, if you don't know him. Does he sit at the table with all of us as our Lord and Saviour? Holman Hunt has a picture of Jesus. I haven't got it with me, but there's a door, and on Jesus' side there's thorns and everything else, and Jesus cannot get in. The opposite side, the door has a handle, but you have to open it up. You have to say, come. And sometimes, even when we know the Lord, sometimes we sort of go away, or we're tired, or everything else. And it's times like this that we need to come closer to him. So all I can say is, take him wherever you go, in the sadness and in the happiness. We might meet opposition when we go out and say we're Christians, but is he a part of your whole life? Because Jesus loves you, and you are very special in his eyes. And I'm just going to read you this. I have lots of bits and pieces in my Bible, and it says, you are very special. In the entire world, there is nobody like you. Since the beginning of time, there has never been another person like you. Nobody has your smile, your eyes, your hands, or your hair. Nobody owns your handwriting, your voice, your special. In all time, there's never been anyone who laughs exactly your way and makes you laugh or cry or think. You may have a totally different response than another, so you're special. You are different from any other person who has ever lived in the history of the universe. You're the only one in creation who has your particular set of abilities. Nobody in the universe can reach the quality of the combination of your talents, your feelings, your personality. For all eternity, no one will ever walk, talk, think, or do exactly like you. You're special. You're rare, and your rarity has enormous value. Because of your great value, the need for you to imitate anyone else is absolutely wrong. You're special. It's no accident that you are as you are. Please realise that God has made you for a special purpose. He has a job for you to do that nobody else can do as well as you can. Out of the billions of applicants, only one is qualified. Only one has a unique and right combination of what it takes. And the one is you. You're special. And just please remember that Jesus loves you all very much. Amen.